Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, otherwise known as a little green pasture. Well, I pray that everybody is doing well today and that you're blessed, and I'm glad that you're here. I really am. It's such a joy and a privilege to be here. It really is. I look forward to this all the time. I have another life. I have a life with my family and things I have to do, but there's always like this back burner fire burning that I'm always thinking. It's like that script, not scripture, it's like that part of that poem of Amy Carmichael. She said, "Make me fuel for thy flame." And I'm always thinking that, Lord, I have this fuel of the Holy Spirit, and there's this flame, this burning flame. And it reminds me of that scripture in Leviticus 6:13, where it says, "Let the fire always be burning upon the altar, never let it go out." And so there's this fire I see in the Holy Spirit, where those that have been truly made alive, you cannot quench that fire. It's always burning night and day in these temples. I know, I live it, and I feel it, and I feel alive in that, because I know it is the Lord. I know it's Jesus Christ, because I could feel his presence within me, and it's a source. It's a life other than myself, and he is our life. Don't you feel so alive when you really feel the Holy Spirit moving in you in prayer, or you're talking to somebody and he engages, and now it's this fountain of living water, it's flowing and you're alive. And I'll tell you, I think you would agree, I never feel more alive than when I'm doing this, or I'm sharing Christ. Or just sometimes we'll be driving in the car and I'll be thinking about the Lord, and I can feel that fire burning in the temple. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin with prayer, and then I'm going to begin because I just really want to get into it, because I feel that fire burning. So dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that I bow before you. I truly do. For you are the Lord, and I am your servant, but I'm your servant friend. And I am so grateful to you, Jesus, that you have given me and all others, Lord, who will always and ever hear this message, whether it be by night or day, that your presence, Lord God, and the spirit of your witness, Lord God, would be encased in this message. That, Lord, that you will be with my mouth. I have my little notes. And I know, Lord God, that my heart has been made alive in you. And as you said, I do nothing of myself, but only that which I hear my Father speak. That which he speaks is what I do. And so, Lord Jesus, let it be no other way. I pray that you be with my mouth, and that you, in a sense, strike the rock of my heart. Don't let it be rocky, and cleave it down. And let your living waters flow like streams, Lord, that go out into this earth through this little video. For I commit it into your hands, because I love you. And we all love you. And we're listening to you, Lord. So I highly depend on you, for I am completely weak, Lord. Therefore, your power, let it rest on me to the praise of your glory and grace. In the joyful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen to the Amen. Over this last few months, I started praying this prayer pretty much routinely, because in the morning when I'm doing devotions, it's really my time to just set, you know, it's kind of difficult because I do these messages, but I just really want to set the messages aside, and I just want to be with Jesus. I just want to I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just saying I do, you know, it can be 1 o'clock, it can be 1:30. Sometimes it's 12:45, but because you know why? Because my heart is alive in the Lord, because I've been made alive in Christ. And I think of that scripture in Song of Solomon 5:2. I sleep, but my heart awaketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying unto me, awake, my beloved, my love, my dove, my sister, my spouse, and come away with me. And I wake up just like that. And there's something about that time of day. You can't get it back. I don't know about you. If you have that time that you wake up in the morning, some people say it's so early, but not for me. I don't want to waste a minute of time. And so in those hours, every day, 7 days a week, I'm so searching and looking for Jesus Christ. Not so I can find something to teach, not for anything, but I know that he is limitless. I know that he is unsearchable and he's past finding out. But I know this about him, that when I really come to him and I'm searching for him and I'm looking to him from my heart, he always does something. And so during those times, I've just been going over things in my life where I've been looking at things in the past, things I studied, things that are in there now. I don't need to go back over it anymore. It's already in there. But I notice as I've been getting older, and this is what he does to the older students, is he starts to refine and define things, and he brings you to, he's narrowing things down. And not because we're older and we're more tired, because he can quicken us. He can quicken anybody. I don't care if you're in your 80s, he will quicken you. He will give you the power to perceive and to understand wisdom and to perceive knowledge and all of that. So it's not even so much that when we're tired, we have a harder time. It is harder, but I'm saying he's a quickening spirit, Jesus Christ. And so I'm not afraid of getting older. And in some ways, I'm glad that I don't have that. The much study is the weariness of the flesh part in me, because my outward man is perishing and my inward man is being renewed day by day to go into the eternal day, the day that will never end, the perfect day. For the past few months, I started to really deepen my heart thoughts to Christ. And I started to pray this prayer to him, because I'm in his word every single day. Every day. It's not just to read to me anymore. Yes, I'm reading it. But it's like every word now, everything's going slower, and every word is like a drop of honey. And I'm starting to see deeper and deeper and clearer and clearer. And so I started to say to him, Lord, I said, I read your word every day. This is how it began. Lord, I read your word every day. But Jesus, please let it be more than just paper and ink. Let it be more than that, though I know this is how you wrote it, so we can read it and we need to have it like that. I said, but God, it's in me. It's in me there, Lord. It's all of this for years. For over 40 years, I've been in this Bible and I'm looking for him. And it's not just because we're in this season of looking for him in the rapture, but in each of us, there's this growth that makes us yearn for the person of Jesus Christ. Where all the things we've asked before, like for the gifts or power to do this or send me there, began to fade away like a mist in the morning. And you feel like that woman of Song of Solomon chapter 3, where she said, by night I sleep, but I awoke, she said, and I wanted to find my beloved. And she said, I went out into the streets at night and I asked, have you seen my beloved? And no, and they said no. And then I even came by the watchman. I asked, have you seen my beloved? And they beat me and they took away my veil. And I saw that for the first time. There's a lot of interpretations of that, and I think it's pretty clear. But you know what I saw? I saw that as the end times, that there was no one that knew where he was in the night. And we are in the absolute night seasons, night season of this church age. She said, I hardly passed by them. No one answered. They didn't even answer. I think I want to rephrase that. They didn't even answer. They didn't even say, no, we didn't see him. They didn't even answer. And this went to the watchman, but there was a brutality they beat her and they took away her veil. And, you know, I think then she said she had to go look for him herself. And she finally found him and she held him and she took her home with him to her mother's house, to the family home. And, you know, when I read that, I said, that is exactly how I feel, Lord. If it's me and me alone, then fine. I'll go search for you in the night. I'll be like Mary Magdalene when she went to the tomb and he wasn't there and she turned around and she sees Jesus standing before her and thinking him to be the gardener. She says, where is he? Where did you put his body? Tell me and I will go and I will carry him away. And I think, how is a woman going to carry a man that weighs anywhere between 175 to 180 pounds? But look at the power behind that. See, nothing will stop you when you're looking for Jesus. When you go out and you're looking for Jesus and there's no answer, you may try this, you may go there, you may ask them, you may do this, and there's no answer. I'll tell you something. There's something that happens in that heart that searches. Because when you're going and you're searching, there's nothing that's going to stop you. I'm going to look at it right now. I'm just so compelled to read that. And here's what she says. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go out about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. And I saw that as being the broad path that leadeth to destruction, the lukewarm Christian world. And she said, I will seek him. And she reaffirms whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not, because he's not found in the broad paths that we see in the world today. And we see all these churches and we see all their magnificent and what great stones the buildings have and what great speakers there are and what great mission trips that are being sent over here and over there and what great singers they have. This is a lone woman. And she's saying, she's sleeping, she awakes, he's not there. She goes, she arises, she goes about the city and the streets, and she goes in the broad ways. The one whom her soul loved, because love is compelling, love is potent, love is a power. Love will force you past every single person. Anything that tries to get in your way, you keep going. And she says, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye whom my soul loveth? Notice, it was the watchman. That's how it was supposed to go. But they didn't answer. The watchman didn't answer. Look at the watchman, the so-called watchman of this world. I mean, there's a lot of these celebrity prophesiers, so-called watchmen. But they're only the watchmen of the broadways. They're not watching for anything but to make their name great. They're speechless because they're not looking for him and they don't even know him. And I don't mind saying that. She said, she asked him, saw ye whom my soul loveth? They don't even see him. What kind of watchmen are those? Verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. So that's how it went. I should have had that before me. But anyways, the point is, I read it and there it is. You know, love is so compelling. Love is so potent. That I think that if we truly understood the love that God has for us, we would fear for nothing. We would trust him with every fiber and atomic particle of our being. And I brought that up because in the morning, I'm seeking him like that more and more as I see the day approaching. And not so that I can show up with some word to say, because you know what Jesus taught me one day? I'm just speaking. I'm letting the rivers flow. One day I was trying to find something I was like, oh, I want to do another video. And I found myself kind of laboring in his word. And I was thinking, Lord, I'm getting through your word. And I was combining my private devotion time with reading his word. And then I was trying to listen to get fed for myself. And then I was trying to, oh, well, this could be good to teach. And right then I heard the Lord speak to me. And he said, you're hungry yourself. And that's why you're empty. And that's why every time you do this, you come up empty. And then he gave me this image and he said, I put bread in one hand and you take it out of the hand of the other hand and you feed it to people and you're not eating it yourself. In other words, I'm here with you, Joni. I'm here to be with you. I want to feed you. You're sitting at my table. I want you to partake of me. I want you to eat of me. I want you to nourish yourself in me. And since then, I've just really been looking to the Lord and saying to him, I'm reading your word. It is paper and ink, but it's you that I want, the one whom my soul loveth. Because see his love that's growing, I know in me, makes this world so nothing. And I see eternity enlarging before me. And it's real. That morning, I got up after my prayer and after reading my Bible. And I was washing dishes, looking out of the window. And I was thinking about what I'd been asking him for months this year. Lord, show me yourself. Let me go deeper. Reveal yourself to me more than paper and ink. And while I was washing dishes, I heard this word come into my mind. And what's interesting is I never even memorized it. I mean, when it came in, I was kind of surprised because I was like, I didn't realize I memorized that. But that happens to me sometimes. And it says, I have many things to say unto you. I have many things to write unto you, but I will not with paper and ink. But I will come to you and speak to you face to face. And you know, when I heard that, I couldn't believe it. Because I know that we are in the time of this rapture coming. And I'll be honest, that is how I heard it. Now, I know this was John's letter because I went ahead and looked it up. He said that our joy may be full. See, I didn't hear that last part when I heard that scripture. I know that this was a letter from John. I know the book of Revelation was his final letter, but that's the letter of Jesus Christ and the vision that he saw. When he says, I, John, heard these things, and he wrote them down. But to the letters, this final letter that he wrote, the third John, he says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. And I felt like the Lord was so speaking to me. Like he was, in other words, yes, we see him. We don't see him now with these carnal eyes. But the Holy Spirit gives us the ability by the Spirit of Revelation to see where we say, oh, I can see it now. Okay. I thought about all these face-to-faces things, how Jacob called the name of the place Peniel because he said, I've seen God face-to-face and my life is preserved. When he saw Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ at the top of the ladder. Or when the Lord spoke face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend of Moses. And with him, he spoke mouth to mouth. And I love it how it says in Deuteronomy 34:10. It says, Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There are things about speaking to the Lord. And so what I'm doing is I'm unpacking right now over the last 4 days what the Lord has been showing me for myself. And then after I received it, I felt free now to pour it out into your vessels. Gideon perceived that the angel of the Lord, that when he saw that man that spoke to him, he perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God," that was the pre-incarnate Christ. He said, "For because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." And the Holy Spirit began to really show me. See, in the Old Testament, now we know that God says that no one shall see the face of God, lest they should surely die. He told that to Moses. He said, "But I will put you, but stand near me on a rock near me, and I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And I will pass thee by, and all my goodness will pass before you, and ye shall see only my back parts." But there's many places that said, where Moses was saying to them, "You have seen the Lord God, how he has seen eye to eye with you. And he has seen you looked at him face to face while he was in the pillar of cloud by day." So doesn't that show you, it's not that we're seeing his face, but there's something about the face of God, the face of Jesus Christ, seeking his face. That's what it says in Psalm 27, "When thou saidest unto me, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek." You know, when I first began doing these videos, there was a period of time where I thought, you know, I really could just do a podcast and just hear my voice. But the Lord said, no, the Lord was more interested that I appear, that you see my face. You know why? Because when you see my face, you see sincerity, you see emotion, you see a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Look at Stephen's face. It's shown like that of an angel. Moses' face shone in so much they had to put a veil over it. Because our faces, what the Holy Spirit showed me is when we pray to God, we're praying face to face. Did you know that? Jesus said, "I no longer call you friends." He said that in chapter 15 or 16, I think. He said, no, it was chapter 14. Don't quote me. He said, "I no longer call you friends." In the beginning, he called them disciples. But now he's calling them friends. He said, "I no longer call you friends." He said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. "For no servant knows what his master doeth. But everything that the Father hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you." And then in the end, he called them his brethren. You know, we become dearer and dearer to the heart of the Lord. As in our clumsy, offbeat human ways, we just keep searching for him like that woman. We just keep searching. And by the way, in Song of Solomon, there is another portion where she goes looking for him again, and those men beat her and take away her veil. And you know, isn't there a fight to get to know Jesus? But we're not going to find him asking them or asking anybody. Jesus can answer for himself. And Jesus has a voice and he sees your face. I like how it says that he knew. It says he knew. The Lord knew Moses face to face. You know, we all talk about one day, I want to see his face. And there's all these depictions of his face. I don't think they're it. You know, the young woman, the girl, she drew a beautiful picture of him. Maybe she did see his face and she painted that picture. I'm not going to say she didn't, but something in me says, it's like knowing what you're having before you're born, when you're pregnant, and you go, I want to know what I'm having. Or seeing the baby's face in the ultrasound. It's like we're so impatient, we want to see his face. But I'll tell you something. I believe that picture that she painted, which is gorgeous. I said, there's something in me that goes so deep and says, that's not you, Jesus. Because when we go to heaven, we're all going to see your face, and it's going to be nothing like anybody tried to depict the face of God. Yes, people, you had a face on earth, Jesus, and what that face is glorified in heaven right now. I don't believe anybody can depict that glorified face of yours. You know, Paul says, for we see through, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. You know, there's a face of God in judgment. In Revelation 6:16, it says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Could you imagine saying, hide us from his face? What must that face look like? What must it look like? In Revelation 20:11, at the great white throne, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on him sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Whatever that face looks like, we're going to see it soon. And you know, he knows you by face. You know how you can go out, you don't recognize anybody. You're in a world full of people. You don't know them. You see their face, but you don't recognize their face, do you? But you recognize the face of whom you love, of them you know. And he knows your face because he created it, and there's no other face like it. I believe when I was praying that prayer, Lord, let me see you. Let me see deeper, Lord, than ink and paper. And after all those months and the timing of it couldn't be better. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But I trust to come unto you and speak with you face to face, that our joy may be full. And again he said, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. And I heard Jesus's voice in that. I pray that the Lord blesses you and that you will seek that God not just pour out his love on you, but give you that love that he asked his father for. Father, I have declared thy name, and I will declare it again, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. When he said, Father, I have declared thy name, and I will declare it again. And he said, for the love wherewith you have loved me, because God is love. And that is a power that is so superior to head knowledge and to try to get to know Jesus Christ through much over study. I mean, it's good to study. But there comes to a limit where you push Christ out because you take over if you do too much study or you go overboard with it. You just take over. Jesus is a tree of life. He knows how to feed you and when to feed you. He knows when to give you water. He knows what he's doing with your life. He'll give you that love because love is a conquering force. And there's nothing like it in this world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the God of love. And I pray that the Lord will cause you to see him deeper than paper and ink. We'll see him shortly, face to face. We trust he will come to us. Maranatha.